Very good morning, everybody. Nice to see you all. We're continuing our sermon series in the book of Nehemiah, overall title, Building for God. And we come at chapter 7 here today, another dramatic point in the narrative, the story of the people of God. So now they have completed rebuilding all the walls of Jerusalem. The temple's been rebuilt, the walls have been built, the gates are in their places. The city is secure once again. That's what verses 1 to 3 were talking about in our reading earlier. So the first part of their mission is now complete, accomplished. And it had been an amazing job that they'd done against all the odds. Remember how they had to overcome their internal divisions, put aside their differences. They got committed to the task and they were working hand to hand together to do the building for God. And then they worked hand to hand together, can you remember, as they battled. And they battled hand in hand together, and they prayed hand in hand together as they came up against opposition from humans and also against spiritual opposition as well. It was trying to discourage them, to threaten them, to stop in their vision to restore the holy city. But they overcame and they had built up the walls. And so they're now at the next part of the mission. What happens next? And we see this in verse 4. It says, the city was wide and large, but the people within it were few, and no houses had yet been built. The city's rebuilt, but now the people need to be restored back to the city. Those who had been building, they were just a small remnant of the people of Israel. The rest are still out in exile. But now the holy city needed repopulating. The land of God needed for his people to come home and to live in their land once again. We can see in verse 4, it says that no houses had been rebuilt. This can actually be translated households, and I think that's how it should be translated. Because we shouldn't just be thinking of physical structures of houses that have been needing to be rebuilt. You see, the city was restored, and now it was time to restore the households, time to restore the families, time to bring the people back. Because that's what makes up any living city. Then as we read on verse 5, Nehemiah says, so my God put it in my heart to assemble the nobles, the officials, and the common people for registration by families. And then follows one of those big long lists of names and numbers that we find in the Bible at times, and we find particularly here in Nehemiah. And we might say, hey, why bother with putting down these names and these numbers? I actually like a phrase that the evangelist J. John often uses. He says this, you count people because people count. You count people because people count. And this is what it's all about. The people mattered. It was not all about the walls and the buildings, but it's all about the people. Archbishop William Temple once said this, and I often quote this. He said, the church is the only organization that exists for the benefit of its non-members. Let me read that again. The church is the only organization that exists for the benefit of its non-members. We should always be looking outside to others. The non-members, people outside, are actually the priority for us as church. And that's what having walls down means in the church theme that we have. And I think we can express it like this. I've put it like this. Roots down plus walls down plus bridges out means gathering people in. And it's this gathering people in, which is the imagery that I want to work with from our scripture today. So not so much exegesis today, I'm working with this big picture and lots of application. The people of God were called back to their city, and they were called back to be as God originally intended, that it might be a city on the hill, a light shining out to the nations, looking outside of itself. The walls were rebuilt to keep people safe, not to keep people out. And sometimes in churches, we can sometimes keep people out by some of the things that we do and the way that we can be, and we'll look at that in a moment. But the point I'm trying to bring across as we open here is Nehemiah is all about rebuilding the people and gathering them back into the land. A great return to the Lord is going on. It was a time of ingathering. And there are three main applications I want to make in slightly different ways this morning. A photo up on the screen. I don't know about that old photo of St. Andrew's Cathedral, probably can't see from where you're sitting, but there is something missing. What is missing is the gates that are all around. When St. Andrew's was originally built, it was built in open common land, open space. It didn't have walls and fences around it. There was no barriers, if you think about it like that, no barriers of coming to church. Now, of course, times have changed. Of course, Singapore has changed. Of course, we need walls and fences, especially secure at this time of insecurity in this day and age. But I can assure you, no matter how many fences and walls you put up, you cannot keep everything out. Have a look at the screen. This was yesterday morning. Family of 12 otters. Thankfully, the route that they take didn't take them past the fish pond. We still have our fish left. I did wonder if they had had a nice breakfast there, but they hadn't. Okay, we can turn that off now. Thank you. But the point I'm making is we have to be careful that we're not just policing or like soldiers, so secure that people feel they can't get near us. There must be ways into the life of the church so that we can gather people in. And this is all about our mindset. It's all about our heart. It's about our openness to others. It's about our welcome that we want to give to others. It's about embracing others in the name of Jesus. Because that is exactly how Jesus was in his own life and ministry. Always welcoming, always embracing, always reaching out, always accepting in the outsider, the vulnerable, the outcast. This is the position of Jesus always. He opened his arms wide upon the cross, but his arms were always open wide in welcome. It's a fundamental part of what it is to be the people of God. We must face outside, not just inside. So we can think of ingathering. And I want to think of ingathering now as going outside the walls. Pretend we've got no walls, got no fences. As Jerusalem was repopulated, and as we look through the next chapters of Nehemiah, we see that the people are coming back, and they come back into Jerusalem, and they come back into the surrounding towns and villages. They bring life back into Judea, the promised land. We are a city church. We have a responsibility to reach outside of ourselves and plant new life in the wider nation. Being outside of ourselves is so important. The writer to the Hebrews, chapter 13, he talks and brings an image of how Jesus was crucified outside of the city, he says, outside of the gates. And what he's trying to do there is to say this is hallowed, the whole of the earth, because Jesus is outside of the gates. And then therefore say, you must be outside of the walls, outside of the gates too. We're there to bring people who are far off back, and we're there to go out to meet them where they are. And this cathedral has, in its history, done this before, of course, many times, planted out and gone outside. My first application is to say we've got a new opportunity. We're planting out into Jurong, an area of Singapore that a presentation is going to tell us about in a minute, is springing up from the cathedral's life, from the English and the Mandarin language congregations. It's anchored by Westside Anglican Church and by Jurong Anglican Church. So let's have a look at this presentation.
Sisters in Christ, thank you for the opportunity to share with you the Jurong Church building project. Westside Anglican Church and Jurong Anglican Centre Mandarin are the only two Anglican congregations serving the western part of Singapore. We come together for worship on every Sunday morning. Not only do believers meet and worship on Sunday, we also evangelize to the rest. Community works like food distributions to the rental flats, inviting residents for talks, such as parenting and so on. In April 2016, both Westside Anglican Church and Jurong Anglican Church Mandarin Church members partnered with Singapore Anglican Community Services to launch the opening of the new Senior Activity Centre in Jurong West. The turnout was encouraging, and at the same time, the needs for elderly care is apparent. For the past 20 over years, we do not have a permanent place of worship. We first started in IMM and followed by Jurong Point. We then moved to German Centre, and where we are presently, West Coast Recreation Centre. The western part of Singapore is the second most populated region. It accounts for about one quarter of Singapore's total population. Jurong West is the most densely populated out of the six districts in the West. The spiritual needs of the West are obvious. We believe that it is God's timing to establish a church in the West. Since then, several fundraising activities had already taken place. There were the fundraising dinner, golf camp dinner, and food fair organized by Cathedral Women Fellowship. The various fundraising activities and pledging had raised an amount of around 3.5 million. However, there's still a shortfall compared to the phase one target of 7 million. The latest development is to explore with Singapore Anglican Community Services on the idea of having an integrated church concept. Apart from being a place of worship, it looks at the possibility of providing social services to the residents around us. Above everything, we pray for God's guidance to direct our steps in this project. Thank you for your kind attention, and God bless you.
So this is a wonderful opportunity for us to invest outside of ourselves, to go outside of ourselves. I don't know if you caught it in there, but there is no Anglican presence in the western side of Singapore at all. There are actually very few churches, and a quarter of the population of Singapore lives in that area. It's a wonderful opportunity to go and to reach out and to gather in. In your bulletin, you've got an envelope and information on how you can support, how you can give, how you can get behind this project. And this is not something being done outside of ourselves. This is being birthed from within the cathedral. This is our work. These are our walls that are being built around other parts of Singapore. So I want to bring that to your attention very much. My second application, I want to think about ingathering as returning. Just look around. We have this impressive cathedral building. We have wonderful grounds that are round about us. It's a real privilege and honor to have the stewardship and the responsibility to care for this. But I'm sure you understand that it's not about the building. It's not about the walls. And it never was at the time of Nehemiah. It was always about the people. And our main responsibility is not just to look after an ancient, important building, but our responsibility is to ensure that it does not become a place which is wide and large with few people in it, which is what verse 4 said. And this is, I think, God's word to us. Because at first sight, this does not seem the immediate problem that we have at St. Andrew's Cathedral, because our services are by and large very full. In fact, you're very full here today. I can see a few spaces, but not many spaces. So at first sight, it seems like, hey, we've not got a problem. In fact, we're recognized as a mega church. Mega church is any church that's over about 2,000 members, and we're way over that. Some would say that we're very successful as a church. But I want to remind us of something that I said a few weeks ago. It's often quoted. The church is only ever one generation away from extinction. Only ever one generation away. Church growth can happen quickly, church decline can happen quickly. Singapore had incredible church growth in the 70s and following. The cathedral was at the very heart of that revival and an expansion of God's kingdom. But we should never ever be complacent. The Anglican Church in Singapore, in reality, in the last few years, has experienced very little numerical growth. We're all aging. Next year, I'm going to be 60. I know it's very hard to believe looking at me, but it's true. No more am I a 35-year-old, handsome, young clergyman. Decline of the church in the West has been dramatic. Revival came to this land, and a sovereign work of God in gathered in multitudes. And while today we're not in revival, we should be praying for revival, and I think we are praying for revival. But at times like this, we are to be working hand in hand with God as He builds His kingdom. And you see, at times like this, what happens are the revival multitudes are gathered under the sovereign hand of God. But when we're not in revival, we're to be evangelizing one by one, family by family. That is our mission. That is how God works in the ordinary times. And it's always urgent. So growth can happen quickly, decline can happen quickly. You know, I'm from England. And the decline of the Western church has been dramatic, and especially in the older institutional churches like the Church of England. And it was hit very, very hard. In the short lifetime of 51 years of the nation of Singapore, the Church of England has declined by two-thirds. So 1960, 5 million. By 2000, 1.2 million. That is catastrophic decline. It's now below 1 million. There are all sorts of complex things and cultural things behind this, and I haven't got time to go into it. But I want to say that the main thing was this: the church did not read the signs as it was happening, and the church refused to adapt until it was too late. Two generations were lost across the UK and most of Europe. Well, all of Europe. Quick succession. The church has adapted now, but it's far, far too late. It's a reality. Southeast Asian culture is very different. I'm not saying it will or won't happen here. But I will say this, St. Andrew's Cathedral is 3,000 or so, maybe more. How many children do we have across our services? It's not that many. How many youth? Even less in proportion to the large numbers that we have. The cathedral, indeed, the Anglican Church in Singapore, teeters on the edge of losing a generation. And I'm not being overdramatic, because I watched it happen in my own nation. I've seen it before. I was a pioneer minister back in the 90s when the decline was happening at its greatest. Archbishop called a decade of evangelism. We hadn't lost so many people in that time. And one of the things that I found was this, as I was part of a pioneering, setting up new expressions of church, new ways of doing worship, rethinking, that I had the blessing and the encouragement of the bishops, and I had the resistance of traditional church. The reality is, whether it's the pull of the modern mega churches that are here in Singapore, whether it's the pull of this rapidly changing culture which is affecting the lives of all of our youth, we need to do something. We cannot leave it. So I'm so pleased that we are. So I want to ask Pastor Halley to come and share with us.
I want to thank Reverend Pete for allowing me to share an exciting cathedral initiative to reach out to the young people of Cathedral and their friends. First, let me show you this picture. Let me pose this question to all of us. In this picture, which candle represents the young person? Who says the short candle? How about the tall candle? You are right. The taller candle represents a younger person because he has a longer lifetime. The future of the cathedral and Christian faith in Singapore lies with this younger generation, known as millennials. May I ask, who are born in 1986 and later? Just raise up your hand. 1986 and later.
Come on, don't be shy. I want to see you.
These are your millennials.
We're really pleased you're here.
This is the future of the church. Recently, I went to visit my friend, who is a pastor of an Anglican church in Bendigo, which is 90 minutes drive from Melbourne. It was a small church of about 10 parishioners, whose average age is in the 70s. This church realized that they need to change and adapt, as it was close to extinction. A couple of years ago, they partnered with an Asian church to reach out to the growing Asian population in the city. Today, they have about 50 parishioners from diverse backgrounds. It is a sobering reminder for us in the cathedral that if we do not change and adapt, it is possible for us to lose a generation. Our vicar and the leaders have been praying and sensing that there's a need to start a new service for young people during prime time, which is late Sunday morning, where they can be involved and invite their friends to worship God. It'll be a welcoming place for them to express themselves in worship to God without being judged or dominated by an established age group. This service is just one of the steps to reclaim Cathedral's role in reaching young, modern, and cosmopolitan urbanites. The service will have a strong current feel to stay relevant to the needs and issues facing young people today. It will nicely complement the range of services offered by the cathedral. It will be supported by a pastoral team, headed by myself and three other staffs. We're inviting young people to join us. We aim to have a strong connect group ministry and the use of Youth Alpha, Alpha Youth, to reach out and engage young people who would normally not step into the church building. We're also planning to build strong partnership links with Holy Trinity Brompton of London and Kuala Lumpur for this service. It is our desire for our young people to be involved in serving and leading to help age stamp the nature of this service. But it's more than just the efforts of the young people. We seek your support, your prayer, and do invite your children or grandchildren or the young friends you know to this service. We are planning to start the service on the 25th of September at the Chapel for All Peoples, which is beside the Welcome Center. In the near future, there are also plans to move to a bigger nearby venue as the Lord leads us. Thank you.
Thank you, Harley. I'm sorry, it might be a little bit longer sermon this morning, but it's actually important, the issues that we're looking at. So I want to encourage us to get behind this new project. We're giving it prime time. I think we need to give it prime resources. We need to get behind it. We're giving it Harley, because Harley has ministered at this service for many, many years. And we have to risk and give away in ministry to grow ministry and develop ministry. I'd love us to be able to dream that we would fill auditoriums with youth, because that's what we're aiming at. We're not about to try and convert the nave into some modern concert-type worship experience, but we do need to engage in other ways, and that's what this is all about. And so the role of this cathedral church and the established congregations remain absolutely vital to the life of the future. It's not about young versus old. It's not about cultures. It's about working together hand in hand, as we've been learning through Nehemiah. So the new initiatives needs the backing of us. See, we carry the rootedness. We carry the maturity. We carry the finances. But we are to support and to give away to it. And it doesn't mean the end of traditional worship life, of course not. And actually, one of the encouraging signs that's beginning to happen in the UK and the US is that young adults, not youth, but young adults, mid-20s onwards, that sort of age, are finding traditional service more attractive as they're seeking something deeper, as they're growing older. And so there is always the place for that. I'm thrilled that we have a growing number in 8 a.m. and particularly 11:15. But the worship that we offer, while it's still traditional, must always be authentic. Otherwise, why would they come? Must always be fresh and alive. The fresh goes along with the ancient in the living church. So our fellowship must be real and deep. The faith that we express must be genuine and vibrant. It must be all about the gospel of Christ. Our ministry must look like Jesus, not like religion. We must care for the issues that are important: social justice, the realities of the global struggles that young people are facing and are worried about. Then my final application. I want to talk about in gathering what I call within the walls. I'm talking about this congregation now. When I began this morning, I was saying how in Nehemiah, the walls were not built to keep people out, but they were built to provide a safe place. A safe place where people could come and experience the living God and meet with him. We, though, if we're not careful, erect barriers and walls that really make it quite difficult for people outside of ourselves to be able to come in. In fact, this grand building with its wonderful thick walls and great big wooden doors are rather foreboding for somebody who's not us, somebody outside. A lot of you have grown up in the cathedral. You just breeze in through the door. Hey, it's familiar home. Some of you visitors here, you're used to churches in other places, and you're not too worried about stepping across the threshold of another church building. But what about somebody who's never been to church before? Or has never been into a more traditional style church like us? It's not easy to step over that threshold. I can assure you that many wander around and walk away. Sometimes, more than once, I've called people back. It's okay, you can come in. Especially before this service, when everybody is milling around. I wonder, have you ever imagined yourself as a newcomer lately, as you've walked in? Have you ever imagined yourself as a new believer or as a non-believer walking into this place? What does it feel like? Because it takes a lot of courage, and maybe you can remember yourself the first time that you stepped into a church. Think about those who are hurting or feeling vulnerable. Those who are coming in need of forgiveness and feel so unworthy that it's really hard for them to come in. Think of those who have no idea what they're going to encounter, and they come in and they see all of our strange Anglican things that we do. Because some of this is very strange, you know, to people who are not used to it. Do we ever think about how they feel and how it feels to them? You see, walls down means being welcoming. It means being hospitable. It means watching out for newcomers and outsiders, because that's what Jesus does. It means moving over on our seat to allow space for people to come in and not claiming our own. If we want families to come back into the life of the church, it means making room for them, doesn't it? It means accepting those who are different. It means engaging with our neighbor and not coming for private religion. I'm being rather direct as usual, but important things. So we have to work hard at welcome in this complicated church. And I just want to pause and say that our ushers and our welcomers do a great job. They do a great job. But what we really need is that every regular member of this cathedral has a bright smile and is on welcome duty every week to whoever's around you. So let's take great care not to erect walls which keep people out. Let's do all that we can to gather people in. And let us do what the Bible calls builds walls of salvation. So when the people of God in Nehemiah's time and before that were out in exile, remember I've spoken before about how God spoke through the prophets to his people, that he will bring them home, that he will reestablish their city, that he will continue to be their God. And he said things like this to them, and this is in Isaiah particularly. He said, in that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and its ramparts. Open the gates. Isaiah 58, you will be called repairer of broken walls, restorers of streets with dwellings, and of course, restoring people back to the living God himself. Isaiah 60 verse 18, you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. They didn't build the walls of Jerusalem to keep people out. They built them to keep people safe. And brothers and sisters, may this be a safe place where people can gather in. May this be a welcoming place that people can find the life of Jesus. May this be a place of salvation, going outside of our own walls, planting new life, Jerong. May we boldly adapt to the changing culture around us and reach out in imaginative and creative new ways. May we grow into a welcoming community. And may we be a safe place where the lost are restored back to their Father in heaven, where the hurting receive healing and freedom from sin and guilt and shame. You know, that kind of church will always live and will always grow. Let's pray together. Lord, as we come in this historic building, we want to give thanks to you, Lord, for all that you've done here and in the city and nation of Singapore, for the wonderful growth, for the revival in this land, for thriving churches in many places. But Lord, we don't want to become complacent. So help us to be aware of what is going on about us. Help us to continue to work with you and to bring and gather people in, one by one, family by family. Lord, help us to grow your church. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.